get to number four. All right, this is Sister Mary DeCook interviewing Sister John Michael D. It's June 9th, 1999. We're at the Mother House at Mount Carmel in Dubuque. And this interview is part of the Mundelein College History Project. The tape, when we're finished, will go to the Mundelein Archives in the Gannon Center for Leadership and Women at Loyola University in Chicago. Sister Mary John Michael, I'm delighted to be able to interview you. And
thank you.
Thank you for agreeing. And I wonder, before we get down to the interview itself, if you'd tell me a little bit about you before you entered the BBMs, how you happened to enter, something about your education, your family, any of the experiences that you might like to put into the record so we know a little bit about you?
Well, there's nothing much. Just I'm the youngest of four children, mm-hmm. of a family that was very close. I went to St. Aloysius grade school, which was 7 years. In those days, is this all right to say this?
It's fine.
In those days, in the Kansas City, Missouri schools, we only had 7 years in the elementary school. So I was there 7 years. We were supposed to go into the St. Aloysius Academy. Mm-hmm. My sister graduated from the academy. But I didn't want to go to the academy. Being the youngest, I expressed myself, my family didn't agree, but I said I didn't want to go to the academy, and I wanted to go to the public school. My father told me that if I went to the public school, I should recognize the fact that I could never change, I'd have to stay there. So I went to Manual High School in Kansas City, which was a public high school, and I spent 3 years there. After I graduated, my mother felt that I was too young to go to the teacher's training. So she made arrangements for me to go to the University of Kansas, which was closer to our home than the State University in Missouri. So I spent the rest of my time at the University of Kansas and graduated from there. After I spent 1 year not doing too much, I decided I wanted to be in the community, and I made my arrangement.
Despite the fact that you turned down St. Aloysius High School.
Right. Mm-hmm. The reason I turned it down was I had an experience, not myself, but I knew about it. And I was stubborn enough, I guess, to act on it. And I'm not telling you, Mary, what it was, as I have not told others.
All right, that remains a secret.
Right.
All right, so you were in the novitiate with Sister Mary Ernesta?
Right.
She was the
pot. When we were postulant, Sister Mary Ernesta came in placement of Sister Mary Angela. And Sister Mary Angela was sick, and Sister Mary Ernesta took her place. Mm-hmm. Sister Mary Verena was our postulant mistress. Mm-hmm. And then we went down to the novitiate after we were received. There were too many in the novitiate, so we had to go back to the postulate, and Smyrna Verena took us for the first year of our novitiate. Then we went down to the novitiate with Sister Mary Ernesta. Mm-hmm.
So when you were professed, you went directly to study. Could you tell me about that? There's kind of we hear about the five sisters who were sent off to study, but it's never quite clear who they are, who they were and where they went.
Yes.
Yeah, how they got there.
As you know, on the day you're professed, you're sent to a provincial to be assigned. Mm-hmm. I was assigned to Sister Mary Justicia, who was the provincial at that time. Four others of us, well, there were five of us in our set who had their first degree. Mm-hmm. These sisters were Sister Mary Columba Krebs, Sister Mary Irma Corcoran, Sister Mary Francine Gould. How many is that?
That's three.
Three. Sister Mary Sylvester Geisler and Sister Mary John Michael D. Mm-hmm. These five were all sent to Sister Mary Justicia. And we were, at least I was told that I was to wait for further orders in Chicago and Mother would take care of us. I was assigned to Annunciation to wait for further orders. And
were the other four too?
No, the other four, we had two of us were in Annunciation, the others were at Presentation. Sister Mary Edna was superior at Annunciation at the time. And one day she told me I was to go to Canterbury, and I didn't know where that was in Chicago. She said, but I'll take you, and you're to have an interview with Mother. It was Mother Isabella. And that was when I was told that I was to go on to study. In the interview, I always kind of smiled about it because Mother told me that I'm sending you to a state university because you already had experience at a state university. We know you will conduct yourself properly. But I had courage enough to say, but Mother, I was not in a habit at that time. But Mother said, we will trust you. So Sister Mary Columba and I were assigned to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Sister Mary Francine and Sister Mary Sylvester were assigned to St. Louis University. Sister Irma was sent to Columbia. We were there for 1 year.
What did you study? Were you told what to take or did you have a choice?
I had no choice. I don't know about the others, but I was, I had quite a few science credits, mm-hmm. and the psychology. The indication in my studies was that it would be in psychology, but I was told that I could not take psychology at a state university, which I already had. So I was...
But they sent you there.
We were sent there, but I was to take bacteriology. Well, I happened to get a catalog and I found that I was supposed to have 15 hours of chemistry to take bacteriology. I didn't have one unit or one credit inside chemistry. So I was sent off and I told Sister Mary Justicia that I couldn't possibly take bacteriology. But she said, I know that you will do what you're told. So four of us went to University of Michigan. Sister Mary Columba and I were the two young ones. Sister Mary Alfonso was the older sister, and Sister Mary Annette Treese. We were four of us. And Sister Mary Alfonso was more or less in charge of us. And that's beside the point. When I got to the chairman of the graduate division, and I told him that I wasn't too sure what I could major in, he looked it over. He said, well, definitely psychology. He said, it's a breeze. I remember him saying that. And I said, but doctor, I couldn't possibly take psychology. And he said, well, about the only thing I can suggest is that you take educational psychology, that would put you in that group. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he lined me up for a program of education. And he said, well, now you have a lot of science, so you could probably do that. And I said, well, I don't think I, you know, I wasn't interested particularly. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, for the time being, I will register for the educational psychology. Mm-hmm. When we got back to the house where we were staying, I told Samir Alfonso, had to call Samir Justicia to tell her that we were all set up. But I was the only one that wasn't pretty definite, because I didn't realize whether that would be acceptable. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, you know, I couldn't decide for myself, because right. I was told. Well, anyway, Samir Justicia just told her to, and that's, she said the sister can't take bacteriology, but she could get into the educational psychology. And Samir Justicia's answer was, tell her to do what I told her. Mm. Well, I went back to the chairman of the education department, and who was the chairman of the graduate school, and he lined me up in educational psychology. And then he arranged, he was a marvelous person, he arranged that I could go into a class in bacteriology without my chemistry. So he put me in a class with nurses who already had their chemistry. And I spent one semester in a course in bacteriology. I took an examination, and the professor said, I will give you an open book examination. And that's what I finished for one semester. I did take a course in bacteriology. Now I better stop.
Well, that's a wonderful story, though. It says a lot about free choice, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, well, it's terrible. But we, you know, you would, mm-hmm. you never do that today. Mm-hmm. No one would ever do that today.
No, not at all. So you finished your MA that year?
That year we yeah. finished. Mm-hmm. And we came back to Mundelein. Now the Mundelein, the building was not completely finished. This was in June of 1930. It was not completely finished, and the sisters were living in a small cottage on the so-called West Campus. And we were told to stay there. And there were 13 of the sisters in the house. We were the ones that moved over to the building. And we moved over to the building in July with a lot of the materials that had been stacked in the small cottage, and placed it in the new building.
So you lived in the new building before school opened?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Just about a month or so, or 2 months, maybe, to get things organized in the house.
Mm-hmm. So I read in the Skyscraper that registration was set for a certain date, and when 300 people registered, they had not planned on that many, so they postponed the opening of school for a couple of weeks?
Well, we finally, it was difficult in the registration, and I use that word difficult, because it was not planned exactly the way, you know. What happened changed the plans. So we really had our first day of classes on September 29th, 1930. I remember it distinctly because it my feast day, Feast of St. Michael.
St. Michael. Had good help. With, so the building was built and finished in less than a year.
Oh, yeah. I don't know when they started.
The groundbreaking was on November 1st. The ceremony for the groundbreaking was on November 1st. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you moved into the college just before school opened.
Right.
And was what about classes? How were you assigned to your classes? Did you get to choose what you wanted to teach? Or?
Oh, no, we were assigned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was told what to do. I remember that Sister Mary St. Victor was the biology teacher, and she had so many students that she couldn't handle them in the lab. So Sister assigned me to take some of her classes in biology. So I remember teaching
bacteriology.
Not bacteriology. I taught freshman biology. And I think it was, I'm not sure whether it was 1 year or 2 years, but she got help at the end of, say, 1 year or 2 years. And then I was put into education.
I noticed that there were a lot of student activities during that first year. Was that part of the plan, that everybody would organize a club and get the students involved right off the bat? Or
I don't know whether that was, I doubt if it was a plan. I imagine the sisters got, you know, to working and, you know, getting things organized.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we were moving into the educational aspect of the college, I think the sisters got a little bit more courage to do the things that we knew that had to be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were there sisters there who had taught at other colleges or at Clark or somewhere that could sort of?
Well, I think, as I recall, and I wasn't too familiar with all the sisters, I recall that most of them came from the Immaculata,
mm-hmm.
because practically everybody would remark about Immaculata, mm-hmm. and I had never seen it. I didn't know anything at all about it,
mm-hmm.
and it was new, all of it was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall two of the sisters were very lovely, two are the young, especially. Sister Mary Janet and Sister Mary Consuelo, both were very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard me say I didn't know Immaculata, and they arranged for me to go down to Immaculata one day. They took me down one Saturday so that I could see the Immaculata and arrange with a sister that was down there to take me through every place in the Immaculata, so I would say again that I didn't know Immaculata.
You would feel more comfortable with the conversation.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, so Sister Mary Consuelo and Sister Mary Janet, I suppose, would be sort of like the mentors that helped you get going in the community there.
To me, they seem to stand out as they were very active and very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But other sisters were, I don't say that they were friendly and all, but they were. But these two seemed to be, to me, to stand
mm-hmm.
out.
Friendly. Mm-hmm.
Sister Mary Richard, of course, was, to me, one of the loveliest persons that we had there.
Richard.
Sister Mary Richard. Mm-hmm. She was chairman of the English department.
Uh-huh. What about... there was a poet there, Sister Mary Angelita. She was there.
I didn't know her too well.
Mm-hmm. I think she started the publications.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the student body? Where did they get the students? Seems incredible that they could recruit 384 students.
Well,
for a college that was not yet built.
A great many were from the Immaculata and St. Mary's mm-hmm. in that first year. And of course you know that we only had 3 years at Mundelein.
Yes.
We did not have a senior class, nor did we have a graduation that first year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But Sister Mary Justicia had already asked the Cardinal Mundlein if he would be there for the dedication, and he was. We had the dedication instead of graduation. And knowing Sister Mary Justicia, she insisted that the Cardinal be there for our first graduating class. Now, he had, as I understand it, the policy that he would go to a school only once, and he had already be at Mundelein for the dedication, so the idea would be that he would not come back again, but he did. He came back, she arranged for it, he came back, mm-hmm. and was there for the first graduation of Mundelein, the second year.
It was sort of his flagship, he was named for it.
Right. And I shouldn't tell you this now. Well, I will. Probably you have heard about her arrangement for the dedication in which she had Sheridan Road cut off
yes.
from traffic. Did you hear about the police officers?
No.
Well, she called the superintendent of police, and she wanted the traffic cut off, which she got, and she said she wanted the handsomest police officers on their six handsomest horses. The superintendent told her, he said, now, sister, he said, I will be able to give you six handsome officers, but I can't give you the horses, because he said we have a limited number and we must keep them down in the loop for traffic. So Betty said, I will arrange to have the six handsome officers. And that day, when they cut off the traffic on Mundelein, on Sheridan Road, they had six handsome officers on six brand new motorcycles.
Wonderful.
And those officers never lived it down from their brother officers, because they were the handsomest. In the, but that's just Mary Justicia.
And she had power.
Yeah.
And she knew how to use it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the, we didn't have Drake. This isn't a part of our case. I don't think that you want, maybe.
Oh, wait a minute. Yep.
Yep.
You did not love being a fundraiser, Sister Jen Michael?
Hardly, because I had to go out. I didn't go out too often, but I did go out. And of course, you had to take a companion. And I would go out with the president of another institution, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually took Mary Columba because she was a treasurer. And of course, she just sat there. But you had to interview the man or whoever it was that you, these different organizations, you know, to get the money. And but I mean, it was, I think it helped a lot, too. And then a Ford Foundation sent out a bulletins saying that they were going to give amounts, and you had to do certain things. Well, Samir Columba didn't like the idea because she said, well, our books would be, yes, sit down, the books would be available to those people. I said, sister, the books are available to the government and anybody else. Well, anyway, she said, all right, I'll try to answer the questions on them. And then I sent it in, and I said the basis for our request was we wanted to raise the salaries of our lay teachers. And I think that was the only reason we got the money. Well, we got quite a bit on that. And because I knew that in some instances you have to give the church a certain amount of money. And I thought, this was something that we had to keep at Mundelein. And I also know that when we got any money, you're supposed to send it to Mount Carmel. And I knew we couldn't send this to Mount Carmel. Clark got it at the time, too. They didn't get as much as we did, but anyway, they got it. But anyway, I called Mount Carmel and told them that we had received this, but it was all in the paper, that next day that we got our checks. So I thought, well, the only thing I can do, I'm going to offset this, giving any of this to the church to begin with, and I didn't want the money at Mount Mundelein, so Mount Carmel could say, send it. So I called the cardinal's office, and I knew his secretary because his daughter graduated from Mundelein, and I told him who I was. He said, oh, yes, sister. And I said, would it be possible to see the cardinal today for about 10 minutes? And he said, he laughed, and he said, I'll see, sister. I think I know. I said, I'm sure you know why. He said, just a minute. He came back. He said, sister, can you be here at 11? And I said, I'll be there. So Samir Bernarda and I, she was my first counselor. We went down to the cardinal. And the cardinal's office, were you ever in it? He's way back in the room in the red carpeting. And he's up on a platform. And when we entered, he says, and got over, stepped down, and he said, oh, here are my sisters in the money. And I said, well, that's why we're here, Your Eminence. He said, come on and sit down. So I told him, I said, we got this money. He says, yes, I read it in the paper. And I said, Your Eminence, I said, this is quite a bit of money. And I said, I don't know how to use this money in order to develop it. And I said, I just need some advice. And he said, I know just exactly what you want. He picked up the telephone, called somebody. He said, oh, I think it was Al that he said. Al, he said, are open for business? And he said the sisters were here and they received this fund from the Ford. And he said, sister wants to know how she can invest it. And he listened. Then he turned and he said, sister, will you be available at 7 o'clock this evening? I said, oh, yes. He said, all right, be there, Al. So he turned to her, he hung up and he turned and he said, sister, this is my financial advisor. He said all the investments in the archdiocese are in his hands. And he said, he's a good man. He said, he'll take care of you. So I put that money in a portfolio. Mm-hmm. He came out, told me all how he would do it. And was in a portfolio. And the first one the community ever had. And he said he'd look after it. He said, you will be informed of everything that is done. Furthermore, all the interest will be folded right back into your account, unless you want to take it. And I said, no, put it right in the account. So it was there in this, whoever it was, a company. But now that was there at Mundelein when I was there. And she had stayed at Mundelein. Mm-hmm. Now, we got a few more of these things. So I was able to send money to Mount Carmel after I paid the bills at Mundelein. Well, the city wall was put in, hadn't been paid. They had to repair the roof, and it hadn't been paid. So I took care of that. And if you recall, the walls in the sisters' rooms had never been painted. And the walls going down the staircase had never been painted. So all of that was done. So most of my term was dealing with money matters. Mm-hmm.
Did you have anyone besides the cardinal's investor to help you? Did you have any advisory group or any fundraising group or anything?
I never let it get out of my hands and that man's hands. Oh, I felt that, if you get too many people in on this, I think that you're going to lose something. Mm-hmm. And, I just felt that I wanted it for Mundelein. And, of course, what I did say to the Ford people, I said it was for the increased salaries of our lay teachers. And, of course, at that time, they were getting not too much. You know, we didn't have to give it, at that time. Now, I was able to send to Mount Carmel because nothing, I guess, had been paid on the building. I did get a letter from Murray Elmo right after I went in office telling me how much I was to send to Mount Carmel every 6 months. And I don't know whether that letter is still there or not. But I wrote an answer to that. And I wrote to Mother, to Marie Elmo, and to each member of the council and told her what I expected to do. And I had to be done at Mundelein while I was there. And I needed the money there. But I did do that. But I was able to send some money to Mount Carmel.
Would you say that Mount Carmel sort of tried to micromanage Mundelein?
It never interfered with me, sister. Mm-hmm. I will say that, absolutely.
They just wanted their money back.
Well, Mother Josita was one. She never asked for money. She did tell me that, we were in the red, and that was when I went in, which I didn't know, of course, because you didn't know. You're a teacher, and you don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that they got that idea from my sister, because Marie Elmo kind of liked her. And I didn't know until Marie Elmo told me what my sister did. And fund for the infirmary, the Philomena Hall that later was developed. Yes. Mm-hmm. That was when it was in the infirmary. And they built that. Yes. And the alumni took care of sending money to Mount Carmel. They pledged a certain amount. And of course, St. Aloysius alumni was limited. It was a small alumni.